You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All right. Welcome to episode 37 of the Beer Tour Guy podcast. I'm your host, Steve Johnson, owner operator of Motor City Brew Tours, Detroit's original beer tour company, back when we still did beer tours. And I got a great show for you today. I got the best beer bar in all of Michigan. One of the co-owners and operators of that place is on here. He's going to give himself a little intro, and we're going to kick right into this great show all about running a beer bar business.
Well, hello, Steve. Jason Peltier, Oats Soda Lake, Orion. Thanks for those kind words. All about the running a beer bar. I don't know. That might take longer than we have today.
No, how about you just say your name like you did, and that's good. Don't worry about it, right? Thanks for coming on. Thanks for being at your business and walking around as we're recording this. Since I can't be there to do it with you right now, we're doing all this stuff remotely. Why don't you start by saying, since we've known each other for a long time, we'll kind of bounce in and out on these conversations with our own stories and try not to digress too much. But why don't you start?
Be difficult.
It would be very difficult to not do that, right? So let's start with kind of what got you into the beer industry originally. And let's kind of like go back a little bit, and then we'll build into, hey, you're at your business now and life is great. And we'll talk a ton about that too.
Awesome. Well, a little backstory. Many, many years ago, I was working for a caterer in Belleville. And I became friends with a wedding DJ at the time by the name of Michael Hefner. And he kind of took me under his wing and introduced me to some beer people. I started going to beer festivals and breweries, more so than I already had. And I really enjoyed it. And my time in event planning world led me to working at Big Rock Chop House at the time when it was a brewery.
And so downtown Birmingham, beautiful place right by the train tracks.
Oh, yeah. And of course, you know, me being me, I became friends with Dan Rogers. And
Dan Rogers being the head brewer.
Yeah, and an amazing brewer. So I volunteered when he needed help for beer festivals and setting up. And we found he and I worked really well together. And he again introduced me. It's like a progression of being introduced into the inner circles of brewing and people in the industry and events and behind the scenes. And I was there 3.5 years, and that was a great experience. Got to go to Great American Beer Fest, basically every beer fest in the state of Michigan, including Suds on the Shore in Ludington, staying in a wonderful little motel with lots of snoring people. But, you know, it's like all these experiences.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, we've all been there, right, at every beer fest.
Ain't that the truth? Actually, with your original protege there, Mike Hefner, I split a room once at a Brewers Guild conference with him, and it was once and out, right? And although we're still friends, I basically said, we're not splitting rooms anymore.
The things we learn.
Right? But, so you got to go to all these great beer festivals while you're working for Big Rock, and that introduced you to a lot of people.
Introduced me to a lot. And then 2009 came. That's when, of course, catering wasn't the best. The economy kind of tanked.
Yeah, downturn in the economy.
Yeah, a little downturn.
Business was during a downturn in the economy.
Yeah, it's good times, good times. But, I kind of bounced around a little bit, had a brief little stint at Black Lotus, and got a call one day from, lo and behold, Dan Rogers. Hey, Scott LePage opening up a craft beer bar in Rochester. You need a job, you should give him a call. And I gave him that call, of course, and that became, I was employee number one for Clubhouse BFD in Rochester Hills. And
so for folks who don't know, Big Rock Chop House, owned by the LePage family, and their son, Scott LePage is who started Clubhouse. And so you were employee number one for them and you got the ball rolling. I can remember those days very well. Those were fun to be a friend of yours because you would, for what was it? Was it Wednesdays, I think?
Wednesdays was all the beer reps would show up. And
so all ordered. The beer reps would show up before you guys were open and you were gracious enough to allow me to show up at those as a friend of yours. And I just got to hang out with tons of beer reps and sample. And we'd have these fun like Wednesday afternoon sampling days. Holy cow.
Yeah, no, it was an amazing environment. Just, you know, to try so many different beers. You know, fortunately I had an owner that just supported, you know, what I thought that was best. You know, I was looking at it not from a beer buyer / restaurant manager point of view. I was looking at it from a craft beer and enthusiast point of view. Like, what would I want to see when I'm going to a beer bar? What beers?
And for as logical as that sounds, that wasn't common at that point. We really, you could put on maybe one hand how many places you might have come across in the Midwest, practically the U.S., that really were like that. It was kind of a radical idea around, when did Clubhouse open? It was
2012.
Okay. So that was kind of a new concept. There were a couple places in Michigan kind of that were like that, but it was not.
Hopcat was still the big boy. You know, they were big, but, you know, sure. Grand Rapids. One-Eyed Betty's had just opened at that time. So it was kind of like us and One-Eyed Betty's kind of recreating the craft beer scene in southeastern Michigan. And a lot of places, I think, took notice. And, you know, you saw more multi-taps.
Right.
But it's multi-taps, not with, you know, just get a half barrel of everything, let it sit on, and then reorder. You know, we did multi-taps with ever-changing draft lists and new beers and, you know, poured properly in the proper glassware, and an educated staff. Those things were important to us back then. So
that process, I think that's what people don't think of when they think, oh, cool, it's fun. You got to, like, build this list all the time, and that was your job. But it really is the education of the staff. It's the presentation. It's how it looks when they come in. It's the menu. It's the constant mix, the constant changing, all the beer events you were creating in there. That's a lot of stuff. Yeah, and that's what it takes, though, to be one of the best beer bars, right?
It's funny you mention that. We ended up Draft Magazine top 100 craft beer bar in the country. You know, every year we were open. So, I mean, you know, that they did that list. So that was a nice little recognition. And
rest in peace, Draft Magazine, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it was a fun time. And, you know, it was 6.5-7 years of my life. Some of those living there. But it was a great time. And I'm very grateful to that family and to that experience. You know, you live your life, you build on your experiences, and that's what gets you to your next step. Which is
isn't that for sure? Yeah. I totally agree with that. Like, from when we first started working together on events, at least there, although we knew each other personally prior to that, and it was a learning experience for the charity bike rides that we started, where we partnered with New Belgium, you, me, and a bike shop, and turnaround points and all that good stuff. Even doing stuff like that out of a venue that you were working at was all learnings. Even though I was a tour operator at that point, I hadn't done anything like that. You really hadn't done something at that quite that scale either. Excuse me. It was that was a fun process for the many years you worked at Clubhouse. We pretty much did one of those a year and then a couple times twice.
Yeah, no, that was what was our high? I'm trying to think of our
600.
Highest. 600, that's right.
That was the year that New Belgium Brewing had a little extra money, and they threw an ad in Metro Times, and it drew a lot of extra people. And that was rough. I remember that we were running out of parking spots, and we didn't really know where to put cars at that point. We were just like, yikes, you know, but we kept moving it forward. We had super long lines for registration, but you guys had a crazy day of selling beer and slinging beer, and everyone was happy. We made a lot of money for the charity that year, which was the Friends of the Pink Creek Trail, and New Belgium Brewing, I think, was pretty happy with the event. And they were great partners. Brian and his crew were great partners over there for all the years that they were able to support that.
Yeah, they're a very philanthropic brewery. They care about trails, and anything involving cycling is a big thing. So, you know, that ticked all their buttons. So they were definitely on board with all that. I tell you, I definitely slept good that night. Oof.
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, we had kind of everybody helping us that day. I don't think I had a friend that didn't help me that day. And but we got through it. I think the next year then we started trying to manage down and not have group sizes quite like that. And now obviously this year we're just not running it, but that's all right. We'll be back next year and we'll be bringing people to your latest and greatest venture. Oat soda.
Well, it's interesting. You know, we talk about next year, and you and I had already talked about tweaks and how do we make it even better for next year. So people have a lot to look forward to, because between our conversation we had the other day, we definitely are going to find ways to make it an even better event. So
it's like any event. You're trying to find what this good group size is that still makes it a lot of fun, but doesn't overwhelm the whole world. And that's tricky. You know, most people are like, they don't get why certain events have capacity limits to them. But a lot of it has to do with trying to give a certain level of service, things you understand a lot about from working at a management level and now being an owner operator, that until you're in that position, people don't get it. They just they don't, because they're focused on what they're trying to get when there's a bigger picture. And that's, I get it, right? Like, until I was in that position, I probably didn't get that either. And
a lot of people think pack them in.
Right.
And that mindset, or as I said, the alternate to that mindset of not packing them in, led to a lot of the decisions we made at Oat Soda. You know, we have our retail area in the front. People will say, why don't you put tables there? That's tables. And yes, but it, you know, if you do so many tables, then you're overwhelming your environment. You're overwhelming your kitchen. You're overwhelming the bar, you know, because you only do so much.
So let's go back then. So eventually, you got a good friend of yours, Danny Fox, and
Dr. Danny Fox.
I feel like he's going to jump in the background or something while we're talking here.
Today is the day. He's dentist. Dr. Fox on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So he unfortunately was not able to be present today. So we'll just have to do another one with him.
We will, right? We'll do one before the charity ride next May.
There we go.
So eventually the two of you get together and you guys devise this concept out in Lake Orion, where you now live, where he lives. And
he doesn't live.
Oh,
I want him to live here.
Oh, okay. He lives close. He lives on a lake, right?
Yeah. He lives on Cass Lake.
So oh, okay. Like Cass Lake. It's all lakes to me out there. I don't know. So you guys get together and you devise this new business venture in Lake Orion. So kind of take me through some of that. Take me through, you had your learnings from Clubhouse. You eventually kind of move on from them. And now you've created this here. Take me through kind of the vision that you've had and have now kind of been executing there since pretty much the start of the year, one way or another, right? Take me through that.
Yeah, Danny and I got together, two very like-minded people, to the point of we share the same birthday. He's older, though.
That's kind of weird.
And he's the best man at my wedding. He was the best man at my wedding. So safe to say we're good friends. And he, not being professionally from the beer industry, but from a lover of the craft standpoint, he's got a lot of knowledge. He loves to get out there, loves to travel. He was one of the few people on the wall at Clubhouse where we displayed all the certified beer service certificates. His was up there as well. I had several customers that did that. So he was very happy he could add CBC to his doctor, number letters. So, or certified beer service, CBS, sorry. But so we thought, you know what? Let's do this. Let's do this, you know, for us. Let's find a place. Let's make a craft beer bar with a retail outlet. Those are some of the important factors to us. Let's find a location. That was the first step. Some of the hot buttons that we wanted to tick were, we wanted to be in a downtown area. We looked at several other areas before settling on Lake Orion. We wanted to be by a bike trail. So literally looking at every single bike trail, you know, Paint Creek, the Macomb Orchard, the West Bloomfield, you know, where do those trails intersect that give us a community where there isn't already a craft beer bar, so to speak. It does have that small downtown feeling. And we set up a meeting with the DDA Lake Orion, and we started getting in touch with many property owners here and touring properties. And we got a call one day. Property is not on the market yet. We think it'll be a great fit for you. Do you want to look at it? And we're like, yes. And it was interesting because it was two separate. It was one building, two separate businesses. We were only going to get the one side at first, but we ended up getting both. But it was, we knew it was the right spot, right on the water, right next to the bike trail, right on downtown, great visibility. We just didn't know the innards, and those who have been in Oat Soda will see all the brick and the open ceiling and the steel beams and the windows. A lot of the windows and the openings and the garage doors, you know, we had to create. So it wasn't as much light. There was drywall and drop ceiling, tile and carpeting and paneling and you name it, it was here and we had to get rid of it. We were very fortunate that there is beautiful brick underneath all that. So we lucked out. We got a great spot. We're in a great community. And it's amazing, and I definitely invite everyone to come out and check it out too. I know I'm rambling here, but that's right.
But I'm letting you ramble, so that's all right. So you like Lake Orion now? You live there. You, your wife, your son, you guys all live there, and you've become part of this community. Now you've had to obviously open, and then we've moved into this, you know, weird time to be owning a bar and restaurant, and you guys have had to obviously adjust ways that you're functioning that weren't really in your original plan per se, right? And that's all right. Every business is really going through that at this point. But the main core aspects of what you said are still there, which is it's a great location and that's not going to change. And you got great product offerings. What has surprised you since you opened? So let's talk about kind of pre-COVID, when you had a little time before you guys opened where things were rocking. What surprised you after you opened, even after all this time, with all your experience, what surprised you after you opened the doors?
Well, so we opened the doors on January 17th. So we had 2 months to the day of openings, and it was busy, you know, it, as expected when you're a new place, you're going to be busy. You know, that trial and error period, and it was about what I expected though. You know, it's no matter what your experience is, no matter how much restaurant management operating, it's going to be different. Your customer base is going to be different. The flow is going to be different. Where things go, you know, you're kind of, there's the list of things you want to do and accomplish and how you want to operate. And then you have a blank piece of paper where you're just writing things down. You know, okay, that has to go there because it doesn't work there. This is the new way we're going to do it. You know, we spent a lot of time in the design and put thought into where things should go and how we're going to operate. And, but we knew we'd have to be flexible and change as the days go on. So we tried to execute that quite nicely. And I think it went well. You know, we had a great response, you know, to our menu, to the beer. I'm still like I did at Clubhouse, you know, rotating taps, no permanent handles, new beers. But, you know, there's going to be 4 or 5 IPA handles, 2 or 3 sour handles, 3 to 4 ciders, 1 nitro. some fruity beers, some light beers. So there's a good diverse list, and the customers here have been very receptive to it, which has been awesome. We have a crowler machine, so people are discovering they can do cans of beer to go from draft, which is awesome. So,
are you glad you had the crowler machine when kind of the world of COVID happened?
Oh, my friend, the crowler machine was a godsend during what I call the carryout season.
Right.
When carryout season, or when the shutdown hit, we were already planning. We had a co-branded event with another place that opened up across the street, to the point of we had shirts with their logo and our logo, and we're doing a St. Patrick's Day co-branded, two spots are better than one. And they had their food menu, we had our food menu and drink specials and their drink specials. And, we were excited to be able to work. And that's the community involvement in downtown Lake Orion. Every business, we're here together, and we want to encourage, working together. It was exciting to be able to do that and have that opportunity. Unfortunately, we didn't get to. So next year, St. Patrick's Day will be bigger and better and all kinds of good stuff. So we have a lot to plan.
And now you already got shirts for it.
I don't think they'll last a year, though. I still wear
them. You don't think so?
No, I don't think it's going to last a year. Wash.
I got a whole year's worth of shirts sitting in my my little cubby hole right now for my business. So they're raring to get on people. That's for sure.
See, we gave our shirts out and the staff got to wear them, and I still wear mine. So I have a feeling we'll need new ones, but that's fine. We can get new ones. But our shutdown, we immediately, when the shutdown hit, we locked the doors, gave all the food to the staff. Some have children. I said, here, take it all, feed your families. Let's take this time to regroup and figure out what's going to happen. I didn't want to try to every day come up with something new, because I could tell we were probably going to be some uncharted waters there. So we shut it down. Once we kind of determined there was a clear path that carry out would work. We brought on a new chef. We took that opportunity, which you normally don't get when you're just opening a restaurant, to regroup, to rethink, to reexamine all your procedures, your menu. And we used our time wisely to make ourselves better. So,
yeah, how rare would that be? I can't think of any new business. I sure didn't get to do that for years of running my tour business, to really think through how I could make things better, because I was just running. I remember it was 1 year I finally got to catch my breath a couple years in, that I got to rethink some of the processes I was doing, where you guys kind of got it thrown upon you and said, okay, now what do we do? Right.
Yeah. I mean, we had no choice, but we were grateful for it. I was really grateful for that opportunity to do that, to dial it in. So once we got to the point of coming up with a menu, you're looking at what's working, what are people wanting during this time, family meals. So we came up with some family meals, sandwiches, which weren't part of our menu in the beginning, because we were all about shareable food. So now we're going into, people really aren't into sharing right now.
Right. So it's the opposite of sharing.
Yeah. Our whole concept was a shareable environment where, you're having conversation, sharing some good food, so we kind of had to rethink. So we did that. We reopened into carryout season. I believe we had 5 weeks of carryout season, which was amazing. The community out here, you couldn't ask for a better community that wants to support small business. We had people buying gift certificates, gift cards like crazy. I got a check in the mail for $500 from a good friend of mine. Just
wow.
$500, mail us a gift card, to help get us through so we have cash flow. So there, it was the generosity, the support. It makes you feel good about why you're doing it. And, you see those familiar faces when we're bringing food and drink to their cars. So, and now they're back inside, which is awesome. So
that's a great thing. You know, I live in Berkeley and I have a nice little downtown area and I'm part of the chamber and I like to, you know, I interact with those businesses and I've seen the same thing here. It's what kind of drew my wife and I to this area and getting to interact with these businesses. And we've tried to approach it that same way. And I feel like I've been like that for a while, but you know, the COVID and lockdown has really brought that out in people. I think a lot more, it reminded them that maybe they took some of businesses like yours a bit for granted. And that if they want those things in their life, which they do, that they need to step up when it works for them, if they have the means to, right? And support in that way. Like my wife and I had made an effort to make sure we were doing carryout and made an effort to make sure when some stores opened up again, some little cutesy stores, that we were buying some gifts from them, you know, or my local Ace Hardware. I try to make sure I shop there, my local Rite Aid, even though those are bigger groups. But there were local people that live and work there, or that work there, right? And it's the same concept. And do you think in Lake Orion you're seeing more of that there because there isn't quite as much chain stuff in the downtown? Or is that not necessarily a factor in it? It's something else.
From what I know on the history, you know, chains really don't make it well in Orion. I believe there was an Applebee's at one point. I'm not sure what else, but there's by the mall, you go by Great Lakes Crossing where it is still Orion Township, you'll see that. But in, you know, the village here and the surrounding area, people really don't gravitate towards chains. You know, for a while the village has been Sagebrush. You know, everyone,
right?
You know, and thank God they're there because they kept people for all these years coming up to Orion. You know, now there's so much more. Before the shutdown, it was amazing. It was exactly what myself and the other new restaurant owners who I've spoken with, that's what we wanted. We wanted people were walking around, having dinner at one place, dessert at another, going to listen to some live music. At either, you know, there's Wine Social or 20 Front Street, which is a world-class music venue. You know, there's so much happening and it was amazing to be a part of. During, again, what I call carryout season, we still saw that. I would bring beer to someone's car because they ordered crowlers and some six packs online. And in their car, they had pizza from 313 Pizza and charcuterie from Bitter Tom's, and they're picking up beer from me.
Oh, how great is it to see that, right? It makes you feel good that you're included in that and they want to support you, but spread it around.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great thing. And that's then kind the next of what time, my wife and I have done here too. It's really been the same thing.
Yeah. The next time you'll see they're picking up pizza from us and something, you know, it's just, you know, wine.
Switch it around.
Social. Yeah. It's so the community out here is very supportive. Yeah, we couldn't be happier.
So let's shift gears a little bit to one of the other reasons you picked the location you did is that when you add the extension into it, into the town, you're right at the start of the Pink Creek Trail that extends into Lake Orion. So although the official trail sort of ends somewhere else, but there's a way to take it in right up to your business. Like it couldn't be any closer. Then we're
I see. Could not be like I'm looking out right now. I'm off my deck, and the trail is right there. That a little extension. The village did an awesome job. You know, I believe they got some property from Lake Orion Lumber and created a nice paved path. They have a secure flashing light crosswalk on a busy street from the trailhead to bring people safely into the village.
It's a good example of a city, of a village getting it right. Because that's one of the more important things as a biker is to feel welcomed into the community you're going into and not for the trail to stop blocks before. And then you're sort of jimmying your way some weird way. This you logically could come right in, right up to where your business is. And you and I both being, bike enthusiasts, right? Like, how perfect is that mix? So how has that been? I get that you opened in January and you haven't had like a real summer yet to see bikers, but you are collaborating with a local bike shop, Main Street Bikes there. And they have a regular bike riding club that would have come in just the other night. So we're taping the show on a Wednesday. They would have come in on a Tuesday. So you had about, 30 people on a super hot night still came in?
There's still, there's 30 plus. You can go to their Main Street, I forget what it's called, their Facebook group. But
it's Bikes and Brews.
Yeah. There's like a big group of people that love to sweat in this hot weather. God bless them. But they're coming out every Tuesday, and they're making what traditionally is a slower night in a restaurant. They're making a really good night for me. They're utilizing the what we've provided and what we wanted to provide, and they're showing us that yes, we made the right call. Just a quick little added note: we did partner with Main Street Bikes and the DDA and Friends of Paint Creek Trail, and with Flagstar Bank, we got a grant. We all kind of contribute a bit, and then Flagstar picked up the most of it. But we have 8 new bike racks and 2 new fix-it stations added to our already, existing bike parking in downtown Lake Orion.
That's a lot for a downtown area, isn't it? Like, that is pretty rare. You would see quite that much like that. So tell me, take me through that process.
Each rack is a 18 bike rack. So do the math. That's a lot of bikes.
So take me through the process of kind of getting that going, and how the grant kind of came to be.
Again, we're fortunate to have a great DDA, and that was kind of spearheaded by Molly Alone, of our head of our DDA here. And we just like, yes, let's do it and get what paperwork we need. And there was a process. We don't need to bore anyone with that, but
please don't.
But we got all the right people on board. And, we all, for various reasons, but the biggest reason is we want to make us a bike friendly village. We want to provide that parking for people. So we can do, when we're doing events, it's, you'll see, when you're doing your bike tour, people are just locking their bikes up to every pole and post and
You
can find. So here, we have one rack outside of Otsoda with a fix it station with a pump. And now by the park, right, which is by a big parking lot, 7 additional racks with another fix-it station with a pump, in addition to the already existing fix-it station and a pump that's in the village. So just within, a quarter of a mile, you got 3 fix-it stations and pumps available. So
anybody that's listening to this show, if you're in anywhere along that trail, or if you started in downtown Rochester and you biked out to Lake Orion, you can really make a nice afternoon of it by going into Otsoda and one of the many other businesses as well in Lake Orion. And it's very easy for you to park your bike. It's very easy for you to get a little service on your bike if you need it. Those fix-it stations are great. Like, when you have something go bad, you're going to be happy you got one of those fix-it stations to help you out. Those are an amazing thing. And luckily along the trail now, they've installed those at a lot of key spots over the past.
There's one at Paint Creek Cider Mill.
Yep.
I can't recall. I haven't ridden the trail in a while.
There's a couple in downtown Rochester. There's one in the park. They're spread out in some of the right spots now. The Friends Group and the Paint Creek Trail Commission, all of which I work with when we do the charity bike ride. They've really done a great job of that. The Friends Group being all volunteers, all people that really get it and want to make the trail look great. It really is a crown jewel, the Pink Creek Trail, and the Rochester to Lake Orion stretch of Oakland County there and all the community parts in between. It really is an amazing trail. For a trail that's not paved, but it's groomed really well, it really gets used a lot. I don't know what the data would be to tell you if it's the most used trail or not, but it's definitely one of the earlier rail trails.
I believe it was the first.
It's not the first. That's on the west side of the state.
Okay.
But it would definitely be one of the earliest. As I said this, I realized somewhere I have like a half page of notes on all this, none of which I have in front of me to sound articulate about it right now. But I know that I did a few, like maybe about 5 years ago, I picked up this side gig where I basically took a bunch of corporate folks on the Pink Creek Trail. And we left from the Royal Park Hotel, which is a nice hotel in downtown Rochester. And another company, actually a competitor of mine, Wheelhouse Detroit, they brought them bikes, but I was like the guide in that
company. I remember that one. Yeah.
And I rode the trail with them. I think we went up to Lake Orion, turned around and came back. And then we stopped at the Pink Creek Trail. And then somewhere in there, I gave them, I think at the Pink Creek Cider Mill, I gave them like a little history. And the funny joke was they were all from Europe and a lot of them were from England. And as we were biking back, I said, at the halfway point, we're going to stop at a cider mill and you guys can all enjoy some cider. And then I noticed all the guys'
that
ears.
That was not what they were thinking.
Yeah, all the guys' ears kind of perked up, you know. And then it never hit me till like we pulled in there. And then you could see like all these grown men, businessmen, and they had the sad look on their face when I said, feel free to go in there and get some cider and donuts. And then they got in there and realized, you know, in England, if you said cider, that would be what we would call a hard cider. But in America, if we said cider, we know that that's a non-alcoholic cider, right? So there was no alcohol to be had for them. And they were kind of bummed out, which is funny considering I run a beer tour company and virtually every other tour I'd ever do would be with alcohol. And this was one of those rare exceptions that the company that hired me, they didn't want that anyhow, right? But yeah, so now I make sure I try not to make that mistake with people from Europe when I say the word cider.
Yeah, no.
I say non-alcoholic cider is what I say.
Well, you can bring them into Oat Soda. I have an amazing cider, hard cider collection.
So give me some examples of a couple of the ciders you got on right now.
Let's see. There's retail and then there's on tap.
Let's start with whatever you're closest to as you're walking around in there, retail or tap.
So on tap, we got Tandem Ciders Smackintosh.
So that's out of Sutton's Bay up in the Traverse City area.
We love Tandem Ciders. Wife and I visited them on our honeymoon. Awesome people, awesome location.
They have a big tandem bike right as you walk in that place in their tasting room and outside.
As well as we do as well. Fourth Coast Cider Works Jamboree.
So that's in Orion Township, my boy Sean and his wife Lori. It's a great place. My wife and I love to go there. Right next to your favorite coffee place, White Pine Coffee,
which is also on tap. Not cider, but on tap and awesome. And then Blake's Flannel Mouth.
So Blake's in Armada, Michigan, another great place.
So if you want to keep going down the cider, so in the bottle bottle can selection, we do have an amazing Perry. Trying to pull it up here. There it is. I'm looking on the wrong side. Dunkerton's Organic Perry, right from England.
Okay.
We have a Brut Cider from France. We have Shaxbury. But Shaxbury does some awesome, interesting things with cider. A lot of it's kind of farmhousey, funky. They do a lot of collaborations. It's a pretty cool spot.
Moonlight, so that's quite a diversity for just cider.
I could keep going. We got
Moonlight. So what have you seen over the years with the cider market? Do you feel like there's a lot more people that are drinking cider today that weren't 5 years ago?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I wouldn't have this many on tap back in the day. But no, it's, and what's nice is we have definitely more to offer than just, you know, the basics. You know, cider companies are having fun and getting diversified, or, you know, they're dry hopped. Like I say, the funky farmhouse style.
Barrel aging.
I'm really happy with what I'm seeing out there. So
let's shift gears to the retail part of what you're doing. Why was it in the business plan that when you and Danny were concocting, coming up with what you wanted Oat Soda to be, that you said, okay, we want to be a great beer bar, but we also want to have a store and we want to have a to-go business. What was some of the reasoning behind that? And how does that fit into the Lake Orion community?
Well, so Danny was a partner in a bottle shop in Charlotte, North Carolina, Salud. A bottle shop which also had some drafts, maybe about 8 to 10 to 12 drafts. Great beer bar. They had a spot next to them that did some food, but they leased that out kind of thing. So it was in early days, and that was kind of our thoughts. You know, can we bring a bottle shop and a bar and create something of our own in Lake Orion? You definitely, I think, need more food component if you really want to make a go of it. So our thoughts were, okay, we need a little food. That grew to we need more food, and now we have a full menu. So it's kind of evolved and morphed, but we always wanted to have that retail component. You know, there's really nowhere. You can go to Kroger, there's a Shell gas station, there's Orion Keg and Wine, and a few other party stores in the area, but no one, you know, we wanted to add to that. We wanted to have downtown where there's a lot of residents. They could walk in, buy some beer, buy some wine, ciders, you know, a nice curated selection, not huge, but a nice curated selection in retail. So we created the Oat Soda Shop, which is its own Instagram handle. It's an own entity. And
At Oat Soda Shop on Instagram for those of you.
Oat Soda Shop, yes. Yeah. And you can go on Untappd and you can look at what we have in the Oat Soda Shop, as well as obviously what we have behind our bar. But it's different. You know, what's behind, what's out here isn't behind the bar and vice versa. So if there's a bottle of wine you really want to enjoy at your table, you can take that from the Oat Soda Shop and we'll charge a corking fee. Not the beer, but any of the wine. It's I tell you what really helped us on that was the carryout season. It was a concept that's new. People aren't used to going to your bar or restaurant, your local pub, and buying just to buy six packs or a bottle of wine. And we also sell white pine coffee beans, hickory and hops, smoked cashews, delicious pickled things. So it's more than just beer and wine. We have Spencer's Honey, which is a local honey. And local honey is very important. Local bees are very important. So Spencer family are amazing people, and we're happy to support them as well. So during carryout season, people got to experience what the Oat Soda Shop was all about. And so that was the blessing in the shutdown, that we were able to really educate the public in what we can, all the things we can offer.
So is your hope then that really pushed forward what you could do with the to-go business moving forward? Like it pushed it months, maybe a year or two forward, in that people had to look at it and understand it and adapt, yeah, and hope that they keep coming back and make that another part of what they do on a regular basis?
Well, oh, definitely. I would say months. You know, we had to create an online ordering platform. We are directly across from the lake, where they will be creating a walkway, a secure walkway, to where there are public boat docks, where anyone on the lake, if you have your boat, you can get your sticker and you can park at the boat dock, the public boat dock, and they encourage you to come in and enjoy the village. So we knew that was coming, and we're right across from that walkway. So we offer, you know, the retail bags of ice, beer, wine, anything they could, and food, anything they need for the boat. We also offer dockside delivery. So you can order online, give us a call, let us know when you've docked your boat, and we'll run it right across right to your boat.
Seems like some good exercise.
Oh, it's great. It's right now we don't have the secure crosswalk, so I do get to play a little bit of Frogger.
Okay.
You know, it makes it adventurous, you know. But with all the construction, there's only a couple lanes of traffic. It's not as horrible as it could be. But, yeah.
But so when we're back to kind of full summer mode, that's really going to be a nice addition to your to-go business, as folks coming in and being able to take advantage of that. And we'll continue to influence maybe some of the mix that you have in there of to-go options.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. So it's been great. You know, we get a lot of regulars. We'll see people several times a week. They're, you know, families, and we are family friendly, and, you know, we have kid menu and no. And now the next latest and greatest is we can do cocktails to go.
So what do you, how has that influenced what you're offering then? Has it made you kind of go back and say, okay, what should be the right cocktails for us? Have customers come to you and said, oh, I'd really like to see this, this, and this to go? Or have you taken
some? Really. Again, I think it's kind of like the whole retail area in a bar restaurant. It's still, they're not used to that. They don't know cocktail. What do you mean a cocktail to go?
I mean, I've never done that unless I was walking the strip in Vegas or something. And I probably got the drink for free when I did that.
Well, that another part of that legislation that I don't believe it's passed yet, but they're looking to do the social districts. So I know Lake Orion, there's a support for that where they can create the whole downtown village as a social district, which right. means there are areas in that district where you can have open containers. So they could buy a cocktail for me and drink it out in the social district.
So that's a little different. So one's a sealed product that they're taking to go, and the other is not, that they get to walk
around.
Well, it's
still a sealed product. It still has to be sealed, but they can then open it up in the district.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
There's a lot of gray area, you know, obviously figuring out the logistics on it all. But
I feel like I want to come back to you like later in the fall and like hear how that part of it worked, because that's so new as we're taping this show, the cocktail to go part. In Berkeley, we have a few places that are also doing that. Some of them are doing kind of like kits, margarita kit, Bloody Mary kits, things like that to give people other options to do in their home, but they could pick it up and do it in their home.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Again, it's new. People aren't going out on the boat or going out on the town planning on buying a cocktail to go. So I think if we get some of that, I think is event driven. You know, if we're having music in the park or, you know, there's an event downtown.
Yeah.
That would make sense. But obviously right now we really don't. There is some music in the park and there are some of those things, but the gatherings aren't as large and people aren't socializing as much. So I think we need some of that to really make the whole cocktail walking around thing make sense.
I remember last summer, my wife and I, Laura and I were in Grosse Pointe Park, right at Atwater in the park. And on, I think it was like once a month on Fridays, they closed Kercheval down and they would have it all open and you could get drinks from different vendors and or the bars and restaurants right there, walk around. They had some entertainment, different food options. And I remember we basically had some dinner at Atwater in the park sitting outside and then we grabbed a drink to go. And then we walked around there and it was so effortless and so easy and so relaxing that, like, you know, they only did it once a month on a Friday, but it was so enjoyable. And now we're referring back to that for the summer because everyone really, that's the safest place to be, is being outside and doing things that way. It's like, we can't do it fast enough almost to get there, but it's nice steps that hopefully post all this COVID stuff that maybe some of those things stick and maybe they make it a monthly thing in the village there in Lake Orion, where maybe that is a fun thing you guys do and they have regular entertainment on those nights and get to do those things. And that
would be fun. I would enjoy that. That's for sure. We do have temporary outdoor. They're calling it temporary outdoor seating, which you can apply for, which a lot of places in our village here have done. It's that adding that outside dining, because we are at 50% capacity and we're set up for 50% capacity. All of our tables are 6 feet apart. But if you seat every table with a two top, you could be full and on a wait and not even close to your 50% capacity. So that's kind of been a struggle. So we did apply and were granted our temporary outdoor for our front area. So we're going to call that drinks on the lawn. So we have our front lawn. We're going to get a couple tables. Again, our downtown DDA is awesome and they're providing picnic tables that they're loaning to restaurants that they can.
Oh, wow. That's great.
So, you know, we'll get a picnic table, one or two, and We'll get some chairs. And so while you're waiting for a table to open up inside, you can safely have a cocktail or two out front.
So you didn't have four or five extra picnic tables sitting at your house then, huh?
No. I mean, it's being creative, you know, it's being in a restaurant in this time. Restaurants already do the right things. We clean, we wash our hands. We're already trained to do those things. Now we just have to be even extra vigilant. You know, we're sanitizing every surface, you know, every moment we can. You know, every table is sanitized in between. Little containers that we deliver to your table with your flatware and your napkins. We bought these little Rubbermaid containers. We literally wipe out every Myers we can, and they're little Rubbermaid containers. And servers are sanitizing and filling these containers, you know, for 2, 4, and 6 guests. And that's how your flatware is delivered to your table. You know, it isn't just a rolled flatware that's open. And so when you touch it, you're the first person to touch those.
Oh, wow. That's really smart.
It's little steps. We didn't go the route of QR code menus. I still wanted to have some sort of normalcy to a dining experience. So I bought a whole lot of hard plastic sheets where I can, and you know, printing menus, beer menus are changing. I'm reprinting a lot. So I wasn't laminating back in the day. There was no way I could afford to keep laminating. So we had these nice hard sheets. So you get a beer menu, you get a food menu, you got our new features menu. And those are, again, sanitized after every use. So we're taking the necessary steps and making it a great experience. All the tables are apart. But we still want it to be some sort of normalcy. You know, your dining experience is comfortable. You're not on edge. And a lot of people are very complimentary and grateful for the steps we've taken. And a lot of other restaurants are doing that as well. So,
well, I appreciate you coming on today and explaining all this to us here on the Beer Tour Guy Show. This is it's eye-opening to see all the steps you've had to go through to get up to this point. And I'm sure this isn't what you and Danny envisioned as you came up with Oat Soda, but it's the scenario you're in now, and you're working hard to continue to develop it and move it forward. And I sure look forward to many more years of fun stuff coming out of Oat Soda there in Lake Orion. If people want to get more information about Oat Soda, what should they do?
Obviously, Facebook, Oat Soda Lake Orion. There's our website, oatsodalakeorion.com, at Oat Soda LO on Instagram. We're always letting people know what we're doing. And of course, you know, just come on in and say hi. You know, it's a safe environment. Everything's spaced apart. Lots of great beverages and food to enjoy. Anyone on a bike, the best fact on the Pink Creek Trail coming from Rochester, it's a little uphill. But when you're ready to go back after enjoying some Oat Soda, it's that slight
downhill the whole way.
So it's going to be smooth sailing. So
right? Like the wind, you just get a beautiful headwind. And you barely have to pedal the whole time going back to Rochester.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Well, Jason, I want to thank you for coming on today. That's going to do it for episode 37 of the Beer Tour Guy podcast. Next month, we're going to have, I don't know, because I haven't set next month guests. So it doesn't matter, because I want to thank Jason for coming on and talking about Oat Soda. So go to Oat Soda in Lake Orion, check them out. I want to thank the Better on Draft guys and their sponsors for making this show happen. If you want to learn more about my business, Motor City Brew Tours, that someday will actually do tours again, I look forward to that. You could go to MotorCityBrewTours.com and check us out on all those social media platforms. I want to thank everybody for listening today, and enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, always.
Thanks.